Well, this morning's message is entitled Lessons from My Father's Lawnmower. And if that catches you a little strange, it's because my dad passed away last month, October of 2020, and a ripe age of 86. His health and mind had been declining. It was just really, it was time for him to go home. But when he passed away, I spent some time thinking over lessons that he had taught me over the years. You know, fathers teach their sons things. One of the memories that stood out for me surprisingly was how to keep your lawnmower running. I know it's not very deep or profound, right? Your lawnmower. Lawn mowing as we know it can be traced back to the 19th century, mid-19th actually, when an inventor named Edwin Budding, whose other inventive achievements include the adjustable wrench, so this guy had it going on, he saw the need for a more cunning and less labor-intensive way of cutting grass, which at the time was limited to the heavy and cumbersome scythe. If you've ever swung a scythe, you'll understand that it's not a preferred method. His solution was essentially a push-along rotating blade array, the precursor of the modern cylinder reel lawnmower, that's R-E-E-L. And it was obviously a winning idea, as the principle has stayed the same to this day. However, the greatest diversion from Budding's original cylinder blade design, of course, has to be the rotary blade mechanism. Horizontal blade attached to a vertical shaft engine. The engine is simple in design, usually four-stroke, not overly complicated, and yet, when out of tune and refusing to start, can cause no end of frustration, which can lead to gas can kicking and to vocal expression that can get your mouth washed out with soap. I'm just saying. With the simple lessons my father taught me as a lad, I have over the years made many curbside rescues and performed more than a couple Frankenstein operations where, after tightening the last bolt, pulled on a starter cord and breathed those words, "It's alive!" as the lawnmower roared to life and cut my lawn. In all of my years, I've never purchased a new lawnmower. Now, it's certainly not rocket science, but let me take you down this path for the next few minutes to share what many of you may already know. Dad used to say, make sure you've got fresh fuel. You know, to protect your engine against gum and varnish buildup in that fuel system. Your engine stops running smoothly when something's gumming up the works, as my dad would say. And a fuel system that's all gummed up is stuck. It lacks the freedom of movement. So you use premium fuel, high octane, for high performance. Did you know that gas goes stale in as little as 30 days? So how long has that gas been in that can in the corner of your garage or your shed? Now you can add additives that they have now, but without the additives to preserve the potency of that gas, stale gas is one of the greatest enemies of top performance. You gotta keep it fresh. And let me tell you, in your spiritual life, devotions, your daily devotions, your time with God, reading some scripture and spending some time in prayer, those are the fresh fuel for your spiritual life. Our spiritual life requires fresh fuel daily, daily to create and sustain the power that we need to live the Christian life. This life that we are living tends to leave a residue on you. And if you're not careful and diligent, you'll end up all gummed up, no longer free. While religion's all about rules, repression, captivity, Jesus Christ, the Jesus that I read about in the Bible, in the New Testament, says he came to bring freedom and liberation. Jesus really wasn't about religion. He was about relationship. The Gospel of John, if you've got a Bible there, or your tablet, or a smartphone app. John 8, verse 36. This is the New International Version. It reads this way, "So if the Son sets you free," that's capital S-O-N, "you will be free indeed." A little further down in the chapter, or in the book, chapter 10 of John, verse 10, "The thief comes only to steal kill, and destroy. I've come that they might have life and have it to the fullest. That's the high-octane premium life right there. There's an author, Doug Fields, and a few years ago he penned a book entitled Refuel, An Uncomplicated Guide to Connecting with God. I'm going to read part of the passage and quote it right from the book because it's good stuff. Fields says, you have the best of intentions when it comes to connecting with God, yet somehow you never seem to do what you hope to do. Now, maybe you've gotten up extra early in the morning planning to have an extended prayer time, only to get distracted by the day's to-do list. Perhaps you've scheduled regular prayer times to read, to study the scripture, only to find that you don't open your Bible nearly as often as you thought you would. When your spiritual expectations fall short of reality, it's easy to feel guilty. You know that you need to refill your spiritual tank regularly to have the energy that you need to live well. But despite your best intentions, you keep missing your connection with the one who wants to fuel your life. That's God. No matter how you've struggled with devotions in the past, it is possible to fill your spiritual tank every day, and here's how. A, get rid of unreasonable expectations. Stop trying to fit plans into your life that don't naturally fit. There is a myriad of spiritual, religious, devotion plans out there that you can get on your phone, on your tablet, on your laptop. You can get them in paper hard copy that you can read each day. But if it's not a good flow for you, if it doesn't fit together, then stop trying to press the square peg into the round hole. If a certain plan that you've tried proved unsustainable in your life, then accept that reality and move on. But try again. B, stop feeling guilty. You're not a bad Christian just because you don't have a traditional time for devotions. Remember that Jesus came to set you free. F-R-E-E, free. And he wants you to approach God in freedom rather than through obligation or guilt. God is far less interested in religious demands than he is the state of your heart and your desire to connect with him. See, don't compartmentalize your life. Seek to live out your faith in every part of your life, not just in church, but also at work, at home, with friends, etc. Invite God to speak to you about each aspect of your life and listen to what he tells you and cooperate with his work transforming every part of your life. When you fill your spiritual tank every day, the pressures of daily life won't stall your spiritual engine. D, stop. Create pauses in your day where you can stop to refuel your soul. Realize that even though it may sometimes seem like you don't have enough time to stop for a spiritual refueling, you actually do if you rearrange your priorities. Make your relationship with God your top priority and fit everything else into your life around that. Decide to stop at various times through the day, through your normal schedule, to check in with God. Practice stopping during different activities through the day. From taking a break at your office, you get a coffee break, right? You get a lunch break. Maybe it's just that bit of time that you're waiting in a lineup of cars at the school to pick up the kids. Take a little while, stop, and talk to your Heavenly Father. And after you practice enough, stopping through the day will become habit. And then, lastly, be quiet. When you turn down the volume on all the noise in your life that distracts you from thinking well, you're likely to hear God's voice speaking to you. Find pockets of silence throughout each day that you can use to reconnect to God. Here it comes. It's radical thinking, I know, but hey, turn your cell phone off for a few minutes. You don't have to respond to every text instantaneously. Refrain from checking your email. Get home and turn off the television for a while at home. And shut off the radio in your car. Some of my best conversations with God are up and down Highway 41 in this part of the Ottawa Valley, and I ride along with the radio silent, and God and I talk. You can talk to God like a good friend. I'm a strong advocate for conversational prayer. Now, there's a place for prayers that are written out and well thought out, but there's a whole other avenue of prayer where just like a conversation with any given friend, you talk with your Heavenly Father. Get rid of the attitudes that create the noise of unhealthy distraction in your life. You know, worry, constantly wanting more than you have, procrastination. When you deliberately focus your thoughts away from the distractions of each day, move them toward God and listen to what He may be saying to you. 1 John chapter 5, this is 1 John at the back of your New Testament, 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John, not the Gospel of John. It's chapter 5, verse 14. It says, "This is the confidence we have in approaching God, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us." That's an amazing thought, that the God of the universe, the God who spoke creation into being, hears you when you pray, hears you when you call. And you know, God's begun a good work in your life, and He wants to accomplish good purposes through you. And you can count on Him to finish what He started. How do you know, Steve? Here we go. Philippians chapter 1. We're still in the New Testament. Philippians chapter 1, verse 3. Right, let's go right to 6. "I thank my God every time I remember you. In all my prayers for all of you, I always pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this, that He who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus." I like that passage. Expect God to take your messiness and transform it into holiness. I like that. Let me say it again. Expect God to take your messiness and transform it into holiness if you cooperate with His work in your life. When you make connections with God during the day, those connections can take different forms. One form is thinking about Him. Another, reading about Him in the Bible. Praying to Him. Connecting regularly with God will give you the spiritual fuel you need by accessing His love and promises. The name of that book was Refuel. So you need fresh fuel. But here's the second thing Dad told me. You need a clean air filter. A dirty air filter will slowly suffocate your engine. And eventually the filter will not let any air in for combustion to begin. There's a whole season, maybe more than one, of dust and grass clippings and other junk constantly that gets blown around and sucked up and trapped inside your filter. If the filter doesn't receive regular cleaning, the carburetor will not have the air it needs to mix with the fuel. Clean the air filter more frequently if it's used in dusty and dirty conditions. You'll read that in the manual if you read the manual with your lawnmower. Well, Steve, what do you mean here? Where's the application? Clean the air filter. Clean the filter of your mind. Before thoughts and concepts get right through to the core of your being, they come in through your mind. Do you remember the little computer line, little axiom? It was garbage in, garbage out. And the whole thought when they were teaching us about computing and data input was, wait a minute, if you put junk in there, you're going to get junk back. The same plays out for your mind. Had a lady in one of our churches years and years ago. She was in her late 70s at that point. She was a widowed lady. I had buried her husband, lived on her own, and I stopped out in the country one day just to drop in on her to see how she was doing. She had talked with me at the end of a Sunday morning service, and quite vocally and audibly at a level that others could hear, but she began to explain some of the immoral thoughts she was having problems with in her life, and she said, Pastor, they just keep flooding my mind. And she started to go into detail. I had to shut her down. A little too graphic. Whoa. Put on the brakes. Then I found out that she'd also talked with my wife on the same topic and with some others in the church. It was a matter of concern for her. And on that day, when I walked up to the back door of her house, remember the old wooden screen doors? That's what she had on there. I could hear the television playing in the living room. Knocked on the door. She brought me into the kitchen, made a cup of tea. We sat. And I said, is that soap operas on the television I hear? Oh yeah, gotta see my soaps. I'm there every afternoon, Monday to Friday, to watch my soaps. First I watch this one, and then that, and then this one comes on, and then just before supper. And she had them all listed out. I said, good, clean, wholesome stuff. You know, the storylines there. Well, not always. There is this guy's embezzling from his brother-in-law's company, and this one's sleeping with his best friend's wife. In fact, she's about to have his child, but she hasn't told her husband that she's got the best friend's. And it just went on. All the lurid detail. Garbage. I said, let's make a deal. Turn the television off. And for the next 2 weeks, don't watch any soap operas. Well, what am I going to do all afternoon? Well, I said, if you can find some Christian broadcasting, you know, take in some of those shows. I said, if you got any CDs that you could play in the house, you know, some of that Christian music, gospel music, some of the worship songs we sing at church, well, yeah. I said, load that up and listen to that music and fill your mind with that. You know, within 2 weeks, she was able to report, wasn't having a problem with her thought life any longer. Garbage in. Garbage out. Romans 12, verse 2, tells us, do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And then you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. Hebrews, again, you're back towards, getting towards the back of the New Testament. Hebrews chapter 4, it's verse 12, for the word of God is alive and active, sharper than any two-edged sword. It penetrates even to the dividing of soul and spirit, joints and marrow. Here, catch this. It judges the thoughts and the attitudes of the heart. And then you've got to come back to the Psalms. Now, if you're not sure where the book of Psalms are, place both of your thumbs on the edge of your Bible, and then pull them back and open the Bible. You should be about the middle of the volume, and right there usually is the book of Psalms. We're in Psalm 101, and this is the first part of verse 3. It reads this way, I will set nothing wicked before my eyes. I hate the work of those who fall away. It shall not cling to me. Boy, have you not heard before that the eyes are the portal to the soul, and what you allow into your mind finds itself to your very core. It finds itself there. So you got to clean the filter. Thirdly, Dad said, you got to check the oil and change the oil. You've got to have clean oil for optimum performance. Change the oil in your engine at least once a season. That was Dad's deal. We've got a generator at the church. Someone very graciously donated it to us here. And we're having some trouble getting it started. And so a couple of weeks back, on a warm afternoon, I drained the oil. Now, oil, you've often seen it. Automotive or motor oil, it's kind of an amber color. Not quite as thick as honey. Flows faster, cleaner than that. The oil that came out of the generator was thick and black. Almost syrup-like. It looked like something you could put on your laneway to seal it. Remember that little term a little earlier? All gummed up? Yeah. Well, this was the old oil, thick and heavy, gummed up, and not free-flowing. Can I tell you that Holy Spirit is the oil of the Christian life and not an option in the life of the believer? The Holy Spirit lubricates the believer's life, helping them to operate more freely. That's what the oil does. It's the lifeblood of your motor, your engine. It's keeping all of the parts lubricated. When they're under pressure, under stress, it keeps things flowing and running smoothly. Romans chapter 8, verse 9 says, "But you are not in the flesh, but the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now, if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is not his," and that's capital H-I-S. And the Holy Spirit works in the hearts of people. The Gospel of John, let's go back there. Chapter 16, verses 8 and 9, it's Jesus telling his disciples that he will send a comforter to convict the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Of sin, because they believe not in me. The Holy Spirit convinces unbelievers of sin, but it also convicts. It convicts the believer in God, the believer and follower of Jesus Christ. It convicts us of actions and thoughts and activities in our lives that are not conducive to the good Christian life. He says, "I'll pray that the Father will give you another comforter." Another comforter other than Jesus, because he knew he was leaving this earth. He was returning to his Father in heaven. That was the King James Version, but the Amplified Bible of this same verse, it reads this way, "And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another comforter, counselor, helper, intercessor, advocate, strengthener, and standby, that he may remain with you forever." This comforter that Jesus speaks of is the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is the one that is the oil to your Christian life. Dad used to say, fourthly, you need good spark. All of these other items and preparations are no good if you haven't got spark to ignite that gas-fuel mixture. You've got to change the spark plug. You've got to have fresh spark. And after a long time, your spark plug can get worn down. Hey, flip that over into your spiritual life. Have you not ever gotten to a point in your spiritual life where you thought it kind of got dried up, that it got old? It ought to be fresh. It ought to be vibrant, your spiritual life. Your walk with God ought to be exciting. So changing your spark plug is one of the easiest ways to promote easy starting for your lawnmower. And to enjoy this perk and avoid stalled starting frustration, you need to replace the spark plug every season. The spark plug's really at the heart of your engine, isn't it? You've got to have it. It's what's going to create the combustion. It's going to spark that fuel mixture and with the air. It's going to explode, push those pistons down, and create the horsepower required to spin the blade on your lawnmower. There's a song that we've sung in church. Let me read you the verses of it. It says, "Jesus at the center of it all. Jesus at the center of it all, from beginning to the end, it will always be, it's always been you, Jesus. Jesus, nothing else matters. Nothing in this world will do. For Jesus, you're the center, and everything revolves around you, Jesus. Everything revolves around you." Jesus ought to be the spark plug in your life. He ought to be at the very heart of your being, at the very center. That he's the one that brings joy to your day, peace to your mind, contentment to your living. He's the one at the center of it all. You've got to have good spark in your lawnmower engine. You've got to have Jesus in your life. Well, those were the four things. Dad used to talk to me: fresh gas, clean air filter, clean oil, good spark. But you know, there's one more thing. If you're going to get a satisfactory product at the end of your lawn mowing endeavors, you got to keep your blade sharp. Way back, late 50s, 1950s, late 50s, early 60s, the Gillette razor blade company had a promotion. I was just a little guy, but I remember this. There was a tune. You know how often a commercial would have a little catch song and a little thing to go along with it? I remember this. And I've looked it up. It was called the Look Sharp, Be Sharp March by Malin Merrick. He was the music director for the Jack Benny Show, and he'd written this march, this song, for Gillette. They took and changed the words a bit, and they made it fit their product. My dad was brand conscious. He bought Texaco Gas. He had Gillette shaving products. Mom used Tide detergent. They drank Maxwell House coffee. Those things I remember from my childhood. But the song from the Gillette razor blade company, I remember this because one of my early childhood memories is sitting on the toilet seat in the washroom. I remember the washroom was at the front of the house with a window that looked out to the street. And looking back at my dad as he stood in front of the mirror in the morning at the sink, shaving his face with one of those old safety razors. Do you remember those? You turned the little knob at the end of the handle and the razor opened up like a clamshell. And there inside you placed one single edged blade. It had a blade or a sharp edge on the left and a sharp edge on the right. Dad would take those out. I was intrigued with the little holding case that the new blades came in. You slid the old blade into the back of the case. And he'd slide out a new blue blade, a Gillette blue shaving blade. Fit it in, turn the little knob on the bottom of the shaft again so that it closed the razor up, lather up his face, and then shaved away. Did Dad ever do that for you? Take the blade out and give you the razor, put a little lather on your face and let you shave. Go down and show your mom just how smooth your cheek was. Yeah. The song is emblazoned in my mind. It's etched on my memory. It was, to be sharp, read God's word and pray, is the words that we used to sing in Sunday school. We were singing, I remember the revelation, we're singing the Gillette song in our Sunday school. Somebody had changed a few words. To be sharp, read God's word and pray. To feel sharp, testify each day. To stay sharp, keep your heart in tune and walk with Jesus every day. To keep your blade sharp, you need to watch the other disciplines in your life, in your spiritual life. You need to make sure that you're refueling on a regular basis. You need to make sure that your filter is clean, the filter of your mind, that you're not putting any wicked thing before your eyes. You need to make sure that the oil of the Holy Spirit is resident in your life, helping your spiritual life to operate as it should. You need to know that Jesus is at the center of it all. Everything you say and do, live and act out, you need Jesus at the center. And that'll keep your blade sharp. The little ditty they sang talked about keeping your razor blade sharp. We changed it up and sang it at Sunday school and talked about keeping our spiritual life sharp, ready. I don't know about you, because some of you are listening to this on the internet and I can't see you. You're out there somewhere. You could be anywhere for all I know. So I don't know where your life's at. And I really, really need you to know that I'm not much into religion. I'm not into the do's and don'ts. Not into having to do things a certain way. Because everything I read about in the Bible, when I read about Jesus, he was all about relationship. I find him meeting with people, talking with people, meeting their needs, caring for people. I see him weeping at a friend's funeral. That's relationship. And that's what Jesus wants to have with you. And maybe you've never made that decision to ask Jesus to come into your life. I'm of the conviction and the thought that if there's no Jesus in your life, then there's no heaven for you in the life to come. Jesus' words, "No man comes to the Father except through me." It was his sacrificial gift, giving his own life on the cross at Calvary. That's what Easter's all about. Christ giving his life for us because he paid the price of our sin for the sin of mankind. He paid it all. And like I said, I'm not into a whole lot of rules and regulations. Certainly, there are things within the Bible that it tells us we need to do. There are things with us as a church family, as a community of believers. There are things that are acceptable practice, things that are not. And then there'll be other things altogether that are of your own personal understanding of the scriptures and your own personal opinion. But first and foremost, you need Jesus at the center of your life. You need him to be the spark plug driving the day-to-day living that you have. And it's as simple as this, a simple prayer, and you could repeat it after me. Dear Jesus, I believe you are the Son of God and that you died on the cross for my sins. Please forgive me of my sins and come into my life. Help me to live for you. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Ah, if you prayed that prayer sincerely, there's a change that's taken place, not just in your physical body, but in your spiritual person. Drop me a line. If you prayed that prayer, my email address here at the church, my personal private email is pastor@hilltopchurch.ca. Hilltop Church is all one word. I don't know if it matters for you, but everything's in lowercase. pastor@hilltopchurch.ca. And drop me an email and say, Steve, Pastor Steve, however you want to address me, hey, I prayed that prayer. I'd love to help you out if you need a Bible or a little guidance on this walk with God. There is no life like it. And they're lessons from a lawnmower that applied to my day-to-day life. As I thought back on the life that I had alongside my Father and things he taught me, I hope this has spoken to your heart and your life today. God bless you. Don't just have a good week. Make it a good week. And make somebody else's week a great week too. God bless you. We'll see you next time.